First hard fact of the day, 835 new COVID confirmations yesterday. 835. Yesterday's Lagos number was 217. But Lagos was not the state with the highest number. Rivers State had 263. And the third state has entered double digits, Oyo, with 128. Now, remember, of course, that for every test, there are thousands of other people who have not been tested who may have the virus. The numbers are ticking upwards, even compared to earlier points in the third wave. So continue to take your precautions. Limit your movement. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. You have to go into the protective place that you were in 2020 when we first got this virus in Nigeria. Second hard fact of the day, phase two of the COVID vaccination drive is now on. If you are watching our live stream, I'm showing you a list of all the health centers here in Lagos where you can get your jab. So do your best to protect yourself. There are so many centers, some of them near you. If you can't see the live stream properly, just Google health center near me and you'll see the one closest to you. Walk in there and get your vaccine. It's advised that you go onto the website, Google the vaccine website, NPHCDA, and register before you go. But if you can't do that, walk in. They will probably register you afresh because they probably think that you didn't do it right the first time. Third hard fact of the day, 2.4%. That's the percentage of Africans who have received at least one COVID vaccine. 2.4%. So out of the almost 2 billion people on the continent, less than 48 million of us have been vaccinated. I say us because I'm one of them. Are you? I just thought of something. You know, there are 2 billion people in Africa and over 1 million of them listen to Hard Facts. That's more than one out of every 2,000. And when you think about that, when you think about what you and I have built together over the last 3 years, you understand why I always say that 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. See, thank you for listening to the show. I have a great show for you as always, starting with the Big Three, Global Edition. Let's talk about young Zambians voting out their president. Then let's talk about the Taliban going after journalists. And then, still on Afghanistan, let's talk about the Taliban accusing the USA of poaching the most talented citizens. While the US says these people simply don't want to live and work under the Taliban. At 4 o'clock, Agogo will be back with Public Square. And then it will be music and moments with Ifeanyi and Sam. You know the drill by now. News updates every hour on the hour. But right now, let's get started with the Big Three Global Edition Lagos. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili and these are your hard facts.
The Big Three, Global Edition on Hard Facts.
Can young Africans take over the political process? Will the Taliban succeed in suppressing the press in Afghanistan? Why do governments force citizens not to leave instead of incentivizing them to stay? This is the Big Three, Global Edition. Let's get into the stories. You know that on Fridays, we try to leave Nigerian stories alone. Yeah, let Nigeria rest. And we look at the biggest stories in the entire world. Even though sometimes the big stories are still Nigerian stories or they also affect Nigeria. Let's go to Zambia first. They have a new president. Young people voted out the old president. That's our first story. Hakainde Hichilema was sworn in this week, and this was the sixth time that he ran for office. He ran for president, sixth time, and he finally won, beating the incumbent, Edgar Lungu. I guess that's a common thing in Africa, candidates running over and over and over. But anyway, this time he won after five losses. How come? What changed? Young Zambians. Young Zambians voted in massive numbers and they overwhelmingly voted for the opposition. Why? Because they are upset. They are upset about human rights, Zambia has high cases of police brutality, frivolous arrests, crackdown on free speech. So they are upset. They are upset about the unemployment. Last year, unemployment in Zambia was at 12%. And Zambians felt that this was unacceptable. 12%! Ah! For context, Nigeria's unemployment rate at the end of last year was 33.3%. So that's almost three times the Zambia rate, which Zambians refused to tolerate. So they became upset. Young Zambians were also upset about the exchange rate. They felt that their currency, the kwacha, had dropped too far and too fast under the outgoing administration. And so because of all these problems, young Zambians decided enough was enough. And they mobilized and galvanized to vote Lungu out. And Hichilema capitalized on that and ended up with 59% of the votes. Now, this is not the only example we've seen of young people making a political difference in Africa recently. You remember Sudan. We saw Sudan. We talked about Sudan 2 years ago or 3 years ago. We saw unemployed young people and young doctors at the end, at the center of the movement that brought down the Bashir regime. We've seen young people in Eswatini protesting against the anti-democratic tendencies of the monarchy. In Ivory Coast, it's the young people in the streets resisting what they see as President Ouattara's plans to become a dictator. So it got me thinking, are we seeing a trend where young Africans are slowly starting to take their place as political influencers and decision making? Are they slowly taking the continent's destiny into their own hands? Because Africa is gripped by unemployment and poverty, and the young people are the hardest hit by unemployment and poverty. And the thing with poverty is, it makes it harder to express your political will. Because I know that people like to rail against this part, but politics and mobilization costs money all over the world. Think about all of the civilizations that you admire. Their politics costs money. It costs a crap load of money. No matter where you are in the world. So for the longest time, people just assumed that young Africans would not be a factor in politics because you're broke and unemployed. But now we're seeing something different, or at least we seem to be. And I want to know what you think has changed. Do you think that young Africans are stepping up? What do you think is behind this trend? What do you think about Zambia's new president, elected in a landslide by frustrated youths? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993-993-0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. You can share your thoughts by WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. And there's Facebook and YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. Hello, thank you for calling us.
President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
I don't break record. I'm the first caller for your program today.
What's your name, sir?
This is Chris.
Chris, welcome.
I deserve an award.
Okay. Congratulations.
To get on the hard part.
I did tell you. Go ahead.
And Sandra, I thank God for your life. President Sandra.
Right.
It can't happen here. This is our number. Is not any good. Look at that. Look at other African countries you mentioned. Those are youths who understand what is happening in their domain. They know this is enough. We can't take this. But our own, no. The day of election, look at ordinary local government own.
Did you go out? Did you go out?
What?
Did you go out to vote during the local government elections?
Look, I've been so fond of doing this. But it's painful when you see our youth. Either they smash the ballot box or they fight people who want to make some changes in within the political whatever here. You see what happened? They were playing soccer. Come in my area there in Agoda. You know what happened during this 2019 election? Okotanko, who did all those, you know, the young one, because of Afodemba. So for those people over there, they understand what is happening. But our own here, no. These so-called people use them. After they give them pill nuts. Huh. No, these are the population, I'm going to call it, these 200 million. And the youth are more in number. It's not doing us any good. I wish they are listening. They are not listening. That is the thing. How many of them they listen to your program?
A large number, actually.
Oh, President Sandra, it's painful. I'm telling you, the youth, they are not listening. I'm telling you, it's well. Thank you very much. Thank you
for calling, Chris. Do you agree with Chris that it can't happen here? You know, young people here don't care, etc., etc. Onyi is in transit. Hello, Onyi.
Hello.
Thank you for calling, Onyi.
Hi, Sandra.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to say congratulations to Zambia.
Okay.
And I know that they didn't use security forces against the people, you know, against those young lads. And I wish we could, you know, do the same here in Nigeria, because every one of us, we are tired. Even some of those people that are in leadership, they are also tired of what is panning out here in Nigeria. So big congratulations to Zambia. And I wish Nigerians can also rise up to this occasion so that we overturn what has not been going well for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Onyi, for calling. 99.3, hello. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
My name is Chief Enyikwasara Godi, calling from Bojo.
Chief Godi, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. You see, it is possible in other areas, but it can't be possible in Nigeria.
Okay.
Because we're here, we vote ethnicity and religion. And secondly, the foolish ones are more than the wise ones.
But in those other places, they're also multi-ethnic. They're multi-ethnic, they're multi-religious as well.
But education-wise.
No, education in Africa is also terrible.
You see, over there, they know what they want. Here, most of us doesn't know what we want.
Okay.
We are concerned about what we are going to get now and not the future.
Okay.
And secondly, our votes doesn't count. Let us be sincere to ourselves. Our votes doesn't count. They won't allow you to make your choice. Even if you make your choice, they will go in-house, take decision, and impose whoever they want on you, whether you like it or not. I ask you to go to court, knowing fully well that if you go to court, nothing will happen.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling, Chief Godi. I'm hearing a lot of excuses. Is that what we do best, Nigerians? Make a lot of excuses. The Sudanese young people didn't make any excuses. The Eswatini youth didn't make any excuses. The Zambian youth didn't make any excuses. But I've had like 3 calls now. Well, and 2 of them have been excuses. Francis is in Victoria Island. Hello, Francis.
Yes. President Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Quite frankly, to be honest, Nigerian youth, we are going to do what nobody in this country. No, we are going to do what nobody ever thought the Nigerians is going to do.
Okay.
We are going to take the people that are taking this country hostage, unexpected. We are going to take them by surprise. See, great Mr. Chris, you should not blame the youth. It's not our fault. But very soon the table will turn. We are see, if they know how intelligent and how dangerous youth Nigerians can be, these people should not play with us. Good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. We've got another Chris on the line. Hello, Chris.
Good afternoon, President Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
You see, I think the only antidote for Nigeria, let me bring solution.
Okay.
Is massive turnout to vote for the youth. Massive, I repeat, massive turnout.
Okay.
If you look at the numbers from Zambia, they were over 30% increase from the last voting power, from the last voting number to what happened a few months back. And that is the only way we can curb corruption, we can curb rigging in the polls. But the question is, are we mobilizing enough? Today, if you read up your starting hashtag, have you encouraged us to register and vote? How many of them are going to register to have their PVC? How many of our celebrities are encouraging people and offering people incentives on social media like their normal giveaway? before they say, okay, show me your PVC and I'll give five people 5,000. And nobody's doing that. So what are they doing? They're not mad giveaway. And nobody's educating. 2022, December, you will see one politician or one celebrity matter and he's going to contest to canvass for votes and then he loses narrowly and then everybody goes home. Take a calculation of all the people that came out to vote to contest for presidential election last year. How many of them have been on the mainstream of putting this government on their toes? Less than 10%. And people just came back recently and have not heard his view on Fulani here tonight. I only heard him talk about bandits. So the issue still remains that largely uneducated Nigerians, educated population is still low, not going to school low, and we go school pass. But common sense, my grandmother used to say, person is not a person sense. The problem still remains that our level of religion and ethnicity is still way up high. Sandra, let me end this with by telling you this. There was a situation in Ghana that I monitored. For one full week, there were no religious discussions. If a Christian is a Muslim on national radio in Ghana, Google it and you see. For Nigeria, no day will you go talk good morning, no religion, no go full land. So we'll be where we are come 2023. Thank you.
Chris, thanks for calling. Onyeka is in transit. Onyeka, welcome.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I only called to simply say that to everyone who feels that the situation in this country is irredeemable, that person is simply dreaming, that things will turn around, that these countries you have mentioned now that went through this and it has happened to them. If you can go back and take count of what they went through, maybe some of their experiences was worse than what we are going through. But it happened. So it will happen for Nigeria. I don't know the kind of youth you are talking about. And God will not require every one of us to do it. Somewhere, something will kickstart something. And just like a dream, Nigeria will change. Things will turn to normal. So anyone is free to believe anything. But I know that a change is coming. And how it's going to come, it will shock everyone. It should shock the world, in fact. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you so much, Onyeka, for calling. Easy Click NG says that he has done his vaccine today. Thank you for the encouragement, Sandra. Easy Click, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations and well done. Sandra, please stop playing devil's advocate on your program. You know full well that it's not going to work here in Nigeria like it happened in Zambia. Your program is called Hard Facts. Well, I mean, I don't think anybody saw NSARS happening. Did anybody see that happening? I've received like 7 calls and not one person has mentioned NSARS. NSARS was driven by young people. NSARS held this country by its throat for 3 weeks. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that lasting for as long as it did. Nobody saw that being as well organized as it was. So am I playing devil's advocate or am I sticking to the facts? We've got Chikodi, who's a first-time caller from Badagry. Chikodi, welcome.
Thank you, Sandra.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I was about going to the route you just mentioned now. I'm not a youth, but I'm a youth at heart.
Okay.
And I also have youth as children.
Okay.
Look, those who are saying that the youth are not ready, that this and that should go around the streets, sample the opinions of the youth. The Nigerian youth are angry, and they are ready to go out. They want to go on hog and ensure that there is a change, because everybody is tired of what is going on in the country. Now, those who do not still have confidence in the youth should remember last year's answers. Nobody thought about it. Nobody knew that something of that nature was in the offing. And it took everybody by surprise. And I can assure you, if the power that be tries to subvert the wishes of the youth, the year 2023 general election, something unthinkable may happen. The youth are angry, and changes are going to come. I can assure you this. Thank you very much, Sandra.
Thank you, Chikodi, for calling. We've got 1 minute. I don't know if Omolara can share her thoughts in 1 minute because we have a break coming up. Omolara, can you do that or you want to call back?
Yes. No, let me just speak now.
Go ahead.
So I was going to mention the NSAT issue that nobody saw that coming.
Hmm.
Then onto the INEC registration stuff, I needed to just make this. I've tried registering, but I did it online. It didn't work. I went to their office. The same thing. It couldn't capture my face.
Mm.
So if INEC can do anything to correct such issues, because a lot of people might be facing this, and that means they might not be able to vote, because I'm trying to change my location. I move from one place to the another. So I'm trying to change my location so that I'll be able to vote in my new location, and I was not able to do that. So if INEC can do something about their website to ensure that it captures my face and I'm able to enroll. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And she did do it in less than a minute. All right, let's take that break, Lagos. We'll be right back.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
As the Taliban took over Afghanistan this month, they kept assuring the press not to be afraid. They said they want the press to continue their role as watchdog. The leaders appeared on different TV and radio shows to give these assurances. They were even interviewed by women journalists, something that never happened in their first reign in the late 1990s because, well, the Taliban don't allow women to work as journalists. At least back then they didn't. And back then, speaking against the Taliban in public, talk less of on air, got you in trouble. But the Taliban says they've changed. In fact, they specifically said they welcome criticism from the press because it shows them what they need to improve on as a government. It's a booster. But it seems like the reality on ground may not reflect this. Let me tell you about Zaya Khan Yad. He's a popular reporter for Tolo TV, one of the biggest stations in Kabul. 2 weeks ago, he went to shoot a story about the lack of jobs since the Taliban took over. He was interviewing people on the street near a mosque. People were waiting for day labor jobs. Suddenly, a Taliban patrol showed up, beat him up, beat up his cameraman, seized all their equipment and their phones, called the journalists ungrateful for making negative reports after the Taliban had allowed them to work. And this is not an isolated incident. DW, the German news channel, says that the Taliban has killed family members of two of its reporters. There are also many reports of arrested and missing journalists. But in spite of all of this, the Taliban are insisting that they are protecting press freedoms. Although some of the top leaders are saying that these attacks are from their low-ranked officers, their low-ranked fighters who are acting on their own initiative against orders given from above. So the question becomes, if that is true, does that mean that the Taliban leadership doesn't have control over the Taliban rank and file? It reminds me of whenever the IG of police bans checkpoints in Nigeria, but we'll still see checkpoints on the road. Do orders matter if the leadership cannot enforce them? But here's the practical question that I want to ask. What should the press and media in Afghanistan do? What should they do in the face of a government and its officials who are actively targeting and suppressing them? What should they do when they can be harassed, beaten, suspended, arrested, or even killed just for doing their jobs, just for reporting the truth? I mean, these people were not telling lies about the Taliban. They were just reporting truths about the Taliban that the Taliban did not like. But that's the job of a journalist. The job, as we were taught in school, is to expose the facts that powerful people don't want exposed and are ready to use their power and their money to bury. Anything less is simply public relations. Basically, the Taliban, just like any other government that attacks the press, is trying to force the press into becoming its PR arm under threat of imprisonment or worse. So what should the press do? Should they insist on doing their job the right way and face jail or the grave? Or should they protect their lives and bend the knee and become PR? Or should they leave the profession? Or maybe even leave the country? Should they join the thousands of other Afghans that we're going to talk about in the third story who are fleeing Afghanistan? And what should other citizens do? If they want the press to keep telling them the truth, what should they do to protect the press from the Taliban government? Will the Afghan press feel bolder in tackling the Taliban and exposing the truth if they felt like the people would fight for them when the wahala comes? 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about this situation between the press and the Taliban? We've also got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Frank is in Ojo. Hello, Frank.
Auntie Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You see, I want to talk about the young youth of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take over this country. I'm still a youth. In as much as you are living, you are a youth. I can't call myself an old man. Are you getting me, Alexandra?
Okay.
Yes, we are all youth. We will take over this country. Instead, we will not take over this country. They will beg us. They are begged. They are tired. Youth, come and take over this country. Because, let me tell you, they are not even happy of themselves. They are ashamed of themselves. That is why you cannot hear some of them talking. Are you hearing me, Alexandra?
Okay.
Yes, they are not bold enough to come out to talk. So when they say we overshadow them very well, they will run away. Then the youth will take over. So let us not say that the youth is not coming. The youth is not coming. This person entered the seat for 5 times. This to us, it happened. You must fight. Now, at the end of the day, victory must come. So let nobody lose hope. In this country, we must survive. We must laugh. We must put music dance just in this particular country, Nigeria. That is what I want to say.
Frank, thank you for calling to say it to
99.3. Hello.
Hello. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Jumai. Good afternoon.
Jumai, welcome.
Thank you. Can I say, talk about the question you first raised about the Nigerian youth and what the youth in Zimbabwe or Zambia, what?
Yes. Well, I mean, I didn't raise the question about Nigerian youth. I was just telling you about Zambian youth. But yes, you can talk about Zambian youth.
All right. Okay. What happened in Zambia can still happen in Nigeria if we Nigerian youth, if we really, because we are divided within ourselves. That is the only problem we have. We have religion division, ethnic division, and that. So that is why it is hard for us to take power from this toxic government, because it is after we solve these issues among each other that is when we are going to, we will be able to work on taking back the government from this toxicity of what you call Nigerian government. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Yakwan Steven says, I'll be grateful if our youth here can do as Zambia did, but I don't think it can happen here anytime soon. Samuel Otemuyiwa says, Chris, I'm a youth and I listen to Hard Facts and I learn from here as well, even though I cannot speak for other youths. I also walk my talk when it comes to voting. Celebrities are human beings too. Quite a number of them do skits as orientation to sensitize youth to exercise their civic rights. We shouldn't expect giveaways to vote. That's vote buying. Samuel Otemoyiwa, thank you very much for that very insightful comment. We've got Faith Odichimmanwafo, who says, NSAS was for government to reform the police. Was the police reformed? No. Now, Lekki Tollgate killed. Can you please tell me the name of the soldiers that were arrested? You want Nigerian youths to protest about anything? They will. But when it comes to voting out government officials, they will not come out. The last local government election is your result of some Nigerian youth. All right, Faith, thank you very much for your message. Abel Udabasi Judah says, Taliban promise to respect press freedom is like our government pledging to uphold freedom of speech and press freedom with draconian press laws. Very laughable and hypothetical. A leopard can never change its spots. 99.3, hello. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Yes, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Kelvin.
Welcome, Kelvin.
Yes, I congratulate Hichi Lima.
Hichi Lima, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I congratulate him. Because despite all odds, in terms of blocking his campaign in several areas, and even deploying the military, you know, in so many areas, in Lusaka and some other areas,
mm-hmm.
even restricting the social media,
mm-hmm.
despite all that, the man still persisted. And I congratulate the temple, you know, dropped their beat and joined him to boost his morale.
Mm.
That was a real morale booster.
Mm.
And I'm very excited because I was worried because initially the election results were set to be transmitted
mm-hmm.
directly from the constituencies,
mm-hmm.
from the polling unit.
Mm-hmm.
to the headquarters. But later we heard that it will be going from the constituencies to the headquarters. So I was a bit apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
But despite all that, you know, the man still put forth and the result is there for everybody to see. Let nobody, you know, begin to bring anybody's spirit down. There's nothing impossible that can happen in democracy if you have the will. I believe that we are going to make a change in 2023 in this country. If you are not part of that movement, go and sit down. Don't discourage anybody. We're going to make a move. If we do not make a move, Jonathan will not be voted out. If we all sat down and said nothing will happen, Jonathan will not be voted out. But we made that move and it happened. And for the Taliban, we all know it's an invasion. But what has happened has happened. That country is going to go through a long healing process. They keep telling I had one of them telling an apart your ID that nothing is happening, that everybody's welcome, they should
mm-hmm,
not run.
Mm-hmm.
That, you keep killing people. You keep killing people. And you are telling that you were telling an apart your ID, nothing, everybody's okay, people should run, they come and develop. And yet, people are. So, these people are not this. You know, they are terrorist groups. They cannot be trusted. They are not sincere. So, I just hope that it's definitely at the force to be taken seriously by the Americans and let those that can be evacuated be evacuated. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's interesting that Kevin mentions the evacuation because the Taliban is accusing the U.S. government of causing a brain drain during its withdrawal. But the Americans say nobody wants to live under the Taliban rule. That's our third story, our final story. The Taliban are upset because the U.S. is airlifting thousands of Afghans out of the country. According to the White House, in the first 25 days of August, the U.S. evacuated over 75,000 Afghans. Mostly, according to the Washington, these people are people who have worked with or assisted the Americans during the 20-year occupation. The Americans say that these people are worried about reprisal attacks from the Taliban or the supporters of the Taliban. But the Taliban have a different view. They're accusing America of poaching the best and brightest people to make it harder for them to run Afghanistan. They claim the Americans are airlifting doctors, nurses, engineers, technicians, lawyers, teachers, and other skilled workers. The Americans say you can't blame these people for wanting to leave. They say that these people don't want to live under the Taliban because of human rights abuses, because of threats to life. And economic restrictions. We talked about it in the second story. We talked about journalists getting targeted. So many of these groups say, Omar, we don't want to be next. I wonder how you see that. If these people really want to leave because they don't like the conditions under the Taliban or because they prefer to stay with the Americans, does America have a duty to evacuate them or is America undermining Afghanistan? Or is the Taliban undermining Afghanistan by creating conditions that people don't want to live under? Meanwhile, it seems the Taliban may start disrupting the airlifts soon. They've said that they're only giving the USA until August 31st to evacuate all its people. So the question is, what happens from September 1st to all the remaining Afghan citizens who want to leave? That's the big question. Brain drain, of course, is a global issue. It's happening here in Nigeria as well. Earlier this week, we talked about Saudi Arabia doing a recruitment exercise for Nigerian doctors. We heard so many doctors and their loved ones telling us that they're leaving because the conditions are unacceptable for them here. Incidentally, The Punch is reporting that security agents disrupted the recruitment exercise in Abuja yesterday. But NARD is insisting that it didn't happen. The government has also come to deny that it happened. We're still waiting to hear from other stakeholders or attendees before we can speak more on that topic. But for some history, this did happen in the 80s. For those of you who are older, you remember that it happened in the 80s. The SSS disrupted a Saudi recruitment exercise in Enugu, for example. Do you remember? But some governments do not fight brain drain. In fact, they see it as an opportunity. Take the Philippines, for example. Filipinos have been emigrating for decades to find work. In the 80s, the government looked at the situation and decided, okay, well, it has its advantages. First and foremost, people who work abroad send money home, remittances. Remittances was higher than oil money at some point before the pandemic. Remittance money increases the standard of living of people in the country. It also puts more money into the economy. The second advantage the Filipino government sees is higher foreign reserves. When that nurse or the sailor abroad sends money home, he's sending it in foreign currency using dollars or yuan. That money ends up in the central bank's reserves. So the Philippines did what almost no other country had done before. It created a pro-brain drain policy. Labor export. The government said its job was not to stop people from leaving, but instead to make sure that those who leave are not exploited abroad. So it set up an agency. Before a recruitment company can take Filipino workers, it must register with the agency. The company must guarantee a certain salary level to the employee, along with benefits, depending on the job. On the applicant side, the government set up insurance schemes and other benefits, which they have to fund from their salaries outside the country. And now the Filipino government has moved into setting up training programs for the applicants so that they are prepared for life and work in the country that they're moving to. That's the approach that the Philippines has taken. And it's worked for them. Remittances are going through the roof. They're not disrupting recruitment exercises. They didn't stop people from leaving the country. Instead, they found a way for government to make money and also to create a value chain that creates more jobs for their people at home. The question is, will the Taliban take this approach or will they make Afghanistan more desirable for professionals? Or will they simply just try to stop people from leaving? Tell me what you think will happen, Lagos. Tell me what you think about the Taliban beefing the US over brain drain. You know the numbers, 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We are talking about Taliban. I'm just thinking about what is going on in Nigeria.
Okay.
Because that's where Nigeria is heading to. And then God will not agree. I don't know why elders of Nigeria keep quiet and see money and
blood. All right. 99.3, hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
God bless you.
Bless you as well.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
What's your name, sir? Hello? Oh, call back if you can. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call us back if you can. 99.3. Okay. All right, let's try again. 99.3.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hi, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name,
sir? I want to
Yes. Oh, your line is not clear. Yeah. Call us back, please. Your line is not clear at all. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
My name is Danny.
Your name is?
Noye.
Hello? Hello? Oh, no. 99.3, hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Hi, sir. My name is Tony. I'm calling from Agege.
Welcome, Tony. Go ahead.
Please, I want to comment on the first story.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, the reason why a number of Nigerians are, like, pessimists as regard what happens in Zambia is this. Now, in other climes, the level of education is high. In other climes, both count. Now, if I put a question to you, that where does the INEC declare the election of 2019 from? I am very sure you're going to find it difficult to answer that question.
But in Zambia, they also tried to rig. In Zambia, they sent political, they sent the military. All the things that happened in Nigeria during elections happened in Zambia. And still...
The point is that Zambia is a small nation compared to Nigeria.
Hmm.
And therefore, it is easy to tame and control issues over there than in Nigeria.
Exactly. And yet, they were able to elect an opposition candidate over an incumbent that has all the power and all the money.
Of course, I want to assure you that if Nigeria is as small as Zambia, I'm telling you the election of 2019 would not be won by President Buhari. I'm very sure of that.
Hmm. Okay, thank you for calling. Abdul Rafiu Alaba Lakpe says, Sandra, what's happening in Afghanistan currently should be of concern to everybody. And let me tell you, Sandra, the Taliban never trust anybody for now, including you guys at the media. So everyone living in Afghanistan needs to be very careful. And Sandra, please, are there not Nigerians living and working in Afghanistan? Because our government are not talking about evacuating somebody. Alaba Lakpe with that message. Ifi Iwu says, in Afghanistan, offer anybody except killing and maiming people. The Taliban is the problem and not America. Ife, thank you very much for your message. Otunuga says, I actually feel fear for Americans, for the people they are airlifting from Afghanistan. They will take those people to America and they'll settle down, and in years to come, they will turn against America and become suicide bombers killing Americans. Nigeria's problem is quite different from places like Zambia or other places that you talked about. Nigeria is sharply divided along ethnic and religious lines, and our politics follows the ethnic and religious divide. Trust me, it's the same. Landlord, travel and see. Trust me, in most African nations, it's the same problem. Trust me. Otunuga goes on to say, take, for example, the police DIG that Federal Bureau wants. Some groups who call themselves Northern Coalition came out to say that they're defending him, even when the case is clear that a police chief confessed that he turned himself to courier dispatch for a criminal. Otunuga with that message. All right, I see that, and I raise you South Africa. Jacob Zuma, his supporters almost burned the country down. Why? Because he was arrested for corruption. Because he was arrested for refusing to show up in court. My people, Africa is a country. Forget. Everything that happens here, it happens in other places. The difference is, in some of those other places, they find a way. And my question to you for that first story is if the young people in Africa are waking up. That was my question. We're not even talking about Nigeria. You guys are making it about Nigeria, and that's fine. But my question for that first story is Africa waking up? The African young, the youth in Africa, are young Africans stepping up? What is behind that trend? What do you think about Zambia's new president being elected in a landslide by frustrated youths? Let's take a look at more messages on WhatsApp. Nigerian youths can attempt what Zambians did, but that's a few of us. The majority of us are the challenge. Very ignorant, full of ego, deceived by their irresponsible mentors. But we have a good opportunity to redeem them before 2023. The celebs and influential ones among us can take the message to them on the streets, markets, especially viewing centers. We go with incentives. We must make this change come 2023. Ajiluchuku with that message there. Ajiluchuku, thank you very much. We've got a message here, Sandra. Until a part of this country is stopped being superior over others, stop bringing immigrants from neighboring countries, it will almost be impossible for Nigerian youth to do as the Zambians did. Jeremiah from Ikeja says. Jeremiah, we're all in this together. Everybody. We've got somebody who says, that was Sister Peace that called you earlier. Just the way Nonye is popular to you, she is popular to somebody else. But that woman can shout. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, but thank you for sending your message. Hi, Sandra. I can tell you that this trend will be replicated in Nigeria. The present old leaders on the saddle are in the last days of their political relevance. Sandra, I tell you, youth are prepared to take this country by storm and deliver. It is time, and 2023 will be the springboard. Fortune from Festac Town. All right, Fortune, thank you very much for your message. Lagos, we'll take a quick break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, before we continue with your calls, let me give you a chance to win some money. Let me give you a chance to win 10,000 naira. Today's high score is 5. So you have to beat Karim Jamil from today's Morning Crossfire. 5 questions. So if you can answer 6 questions, you'll be our winner. It's that simple. You know the numbers. Let's go. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon. Do you want to play just a minute?
Yes, I want to play.
Your time starts now.
This is just a minute.
Which state had the highest COVID numbers yesterday?
Rivers State.
That's correct. Which state had the second highest COVID numbers yesterday?
Lagos.
Lagos is correct. Which state had the third highest COVID numbers yesterday?
Oyo State.
Oyo is correct. True or false? Over 10% of Africans have been vaccinated.
False.
True or false? Zambia's unemployment rate is lower than Nigeria's.
True.
Zambia's new president has run for president how many times?
3 times.
How many times?
6.
6. That's correct. What group rules most of Afghanistan?
Taliban.
Which superpower is the Taliban accusing of fueling a brain drain in Afghanistan?
USA.
The country has an agency. Which country has an agency for protecting rights of its workers abroad?
Freedom of Press.
Which country has an agency for protecting rights of its workers abroad?
USA.
That's wrong, but hold on. You answered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're our winner for today. Congratulations. Stay on the line so we can get your details, eh? Well done. All right, Lagos, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. That's all the time we have. Coming up is Rotimi Sankore with Public Square alongside Agogo Obbo. And they're going to bring you something special today as well. You can find me on social media as Sandra Ezekwesili. Sandra Ezekwesili. Just do a Google search for Sandra Ezekwesili. You find all my profiles and then you can go ahead and follow. On Monday, we'll bring you the big stories that break this weekend. And then at 5 on Monday, we'll talk about this NDA attack with a few security analysts, and they'll talk to us about what this means for the security situation in the country. Those were your hard facts. Lagos, have yourself a fantastic weekend.